It's time to become a member of Playvolution HQ and Explorations Early Learning. There's a free option and three paid patron level options. All come with free stuff and ongoing automatic training and merch discounts. For as little as a dollar a month, you can become a patron. That supports our work and you get premium stuff like early access to fresh podcast episodes. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/membership or click the link in this episode's description to learn more. All the cool listeners are doing it. On with the show. Welcome to the Child Care Fire Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson is live from the Pelican Perch along the shiny Gulf Coast
Pelican's
of Mississippi. We got Samantha Balch here. We got Carol Cole here. How y'all doing?
Doing pretty good. I could have complaints if I thought of some, but
no complaints.
Yeah, I just sent my kids to the beach and it's raining, so.
Hey, they were going to get wet anyway, huh?
I love the beach in the rain. I think it's so fun.
Well, I think the light means what would get you, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a little lightning. We're having some audio.
Well, the little one wants.
Jeff's back. You're gone, but now you're back.
So, here we are. You guys okay? We're good. Okay.
Oh yeah, we're good.
So,
you're gonna tell us a story.
So Samantha's going to tell us a story in a little bit. Get us a topic. I was offered a fist bump the other day, and I don't know if you guys know this about me, not a fist bump guy.
What are you? Are you a high five?
I'm a keep your hands to yourself kind of person.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I got a feeling he's a nothing.
Are you a sup nod kind of guy?
who the what?
Oh, so you can't see me, but if you could, it's where you just kind of move your head up a little bit. Yeah. That's the sup nod.
Yeah, if I can do the nod without the sup, without the vocalization.
You just go.
Well, I think the sup of it is just that your chin is going up instead of going down.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's what I prefer over fist bumps or high fives or handshakes or hugs. That kind of, and if we could do it with just kind of an eye contact kind of acknowledgement of the other person's existence without the actual head movement, that would be more my speed,
no
I guess.
Winking, winking, no winking.
No, but I did wink at somebody on our bike ride today. I did wink at somebody. She was walking along and she smiled and I gave her a wink.
Is that better or worse than a honey or a baby?
I feel like these are on the same sort of uneven territory.
Hey, she's the one that made eye contact and smiled at me. So that invasion of my space. Go. That invasion of my space deserved a wink just to put her in her place.
I'm just going to put a tally mark down for Tosh. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. But back to the fist bump. We were eating in a Mexican restaurant someplace between Iowa and Mississippi. And we're sitting at the table. It's one of those little alcove areas where and so there's booths on one side and booths on the other side. And on this booth across from me, there's this little 2-year-old human. And she's having a little meltdown, an iPad-based meltdown about something and everything. And then she stops and she looks at me and she waves. And I wave back. And then she sticks her little fist out. And I look at her. And then she does the sup nod that you were just talking about, Sam, and kind of like, are you going to hit this? And so I had to I had to reach across the little floor area and give her the bump, and gets this big smile on her face, and she goes back to her fit, and then notices me a few minutes later, and we do the same thing again. The eye contact, the fist bump, and then she added a high five to it. And I think we went through a third cycle before her mother told her to let the nice man eat his burrito. So that was delightful. She was my first friend in Mississippi, I guess. So that was good.
That's so great. I'm so happy you've made a friend.
I'm so happy you didn't deny her. Like, no, right? That's not something I do.
I was worried that's where it was going. You're like, I don't do that. I don't want to do that.
I've totally done that with adults, but can't. Yeah, you can't leave a 2-year-old hanging. So, Sam, what's your sad story?
Yeah, I have a bummer of a topic.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm going to talk about death a little bit. So if that bums you out, feel free to come back on the next episode or one of the other 500 episodes available in the archives on PlayLeadersNHQ.com. What month is it? It's July now. When we're recording this. So a couple months ago, I got a phone call in the morning, right before I hopped on my bike to go to work, from my dad. My dad never calls me. We have a great relationship, but I talk to him via my mother on the phone. Like, she'll hand the phone to him. He never calls me. So he called me and told me that my cousin had died. My cousin is about 2 years older than me. So we're pretty close in age. He's, like a year older than my older brother. This was my mom's only brother's only son. And I would like you to know that he was extremely funny. He would post the music video for Britney Spears' Toxic a lot, because it is truly a revolution in music. And he loved purple. He wore a lot of purple. So this was very sudden. This was not anything anyone was in any way prepared for or even thought was, you know, possible. So I, you know, immediately left and went to where the family is and where my family was. And that happened right before Mother's Day, which was, you know, itself just really a bummer. And after I found out, I went to work. Hey Jeff, is this a sign the story is like way too much of a bummer?
After I found out I went to work, that's where I lost you.
Okay, so then I'll just start from there. So after I found out I went to work, because what else am I gonna do? And this was the week before Mother's Day, so some of the other teachers in my classroom were talking about what they were going to make for Mother's Day, what the kids were going to make for Mother's Day, and I have never been particularly interested in making, like, having children make gifts for people, like for various holidays. That's never been my thing. I don't think gifts should be forced from children. I don't enjoy making them all do the same thing. So, you know, typically I would have just kind of told the other teachers, like, do whatever you want. Like, I'll ask my kids if they want to. And if they don't want to, I'm not going to make them do it. They have other things they want to work on. But because of what had happened, my perspective sort of shifted a little bit. And I still don't think that forcing kids to make things for people, especially, you know, like Valentine's Day, if there are people they don't like they shouldn't have to do that. I don't think that's the way to go about it personally, but I had I don't know if it's new or if it's just renewed or just slightly different take on things that young children make and give to their families because of, you know, there might. Come a time when that mother and that father. don't have that child anymore? And is it so bad to give them something that was made by little hands? I don't know. I think it softened me a little bit in that way. And I found myself, we ended up doing, because we had a bunch of extra tiles from a building project that I had more or less stolen. And so, you know, I'd asked the children what they were interested in doing, and they wanted to kind of like decoupage them with a bunch of this tissue paper they had been using. So it was very gluey, very messy. Oh, bye, Jeff. Oh, no, he's back.
Very gluey. Very messy.
Yeah, very gluey, very messy. And more or less, I just found that I wasn't as... Some people have called me grinchy in the past, but grinchy about a gift as I would have been. I took it a lot slower, and, you know, it felt, and it might have just been to me, right, because of what I was going through at the time, but it felt a lot more important to really be part of that and to talk to the children as they were making this gift. And I didn't think of it as this silly thing we were doing. I was like, I want them to do this, and I want them to feel this, and I want to help them, you know, decide how they want to wrap it and wrap it up. And I want to help them write down words for their moms, because, you know, when I later went to my cousin's house to see, you know, the photos of him as a kid and the things he made as a kid, I was like, who am I to just like not give a parent that in a way? I don't know. It's all sort of jumbled thoughts here, but it changed my perspective a little bit on kids making gifts and, you know, whether they should be forced or not, or how you can participate in that as a caregiver. So now that we're all sufficiently bummed out.
Well, I was just thinking that kind of drives the point home, though, about making sure that the kids are in the things that they make.
Yeah.
Because I know, even like, I've gone through enough of my own kids' things that, like, normally I'd be like, oh, you know, you hold on to every little thing. But when you look at something and they're not in it, you know, there are projects I'm like, I don't see her anywhere in this. I see a lot of the teacher, but yeah. I don't see her, you know, like, and I wasn't particularly fond of the teacher, so that went right in the trash.
Right, so like, don't want that. Yeah, right. And I think that's why the conversation became such, so not that conversation is never not important to me when I'm, you know, with children and they're working on things and we're, you know, together at the table or whatnot, but it became so much for me about talking to them about what they were doing and who they were thinking of while they were doing it. Because, you know, I had one kid telling me, you know, I'm making this for my mom. My mom is my most best friend. I was like, oh, well, tell me about your most best friend. What makes her that way for you? She's like, she always takes me to tennis. And when we're at tennis, she always helps me go get the balls when all the balls roll all over the court. And, you know, he's just telling this story. And I don't know, maybe this is a little too like woo-woo, you know, a little too crystals and astrology, but I felt like by telling that story and having those conversations at that time, more of that kid's heart was in what they were doing. More of their soul was in that piece. And that felt good to me, especially at a time where things felt really horrendous and awful.
I think that's not just woo-woo. I'm pretty sure there's at least some science behind that. Like, kind of like when you're like, how you talk to yourself when you're doing something, it's because it increases your focus on that thing. So, I mean, there's no reason that you can't focus your heart on something, so to speak. This is going to be Jeff's favorite episode, but is he still with us?
I'm here. You became more pro making kids do craft activities because a sad thing happened?
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say that.
I know I just sounded like a real dick saying that.
I think what it was is I became a little more understanding to the perspective of teachers that want to make things for parents all the time. Mm-hmm. I became a little more understanding of where that's coming from because this terrible, awful thing happened where someone will never hug their son again. And my God, maybe this little tile is going to bring them some joy. And yeah, that's like kind of an extreme. Probably not gonna happen for most of the kids that make these tiles. But if there's a teacher that's so intent on doing something for parents because they
so intent on doing something for parents.
Wait, who was that me?
That was Sam.
That was Sam.
That was me. Oh yeah. Just that I think I understand the perspective of teachers who are so intent on doing something for parents. So they have part of their child from this point in time to hold on to. It softened me to that in a way.
Like I was saying, like you have, like, I think I've always kind of like understood that, but again, like being a parent, you're like, oh, like you love the little things. I just always am wary of what teachers are doing it for the parents because of that, and what teachers, it's 100% more of a look at me. It's an ego thing.
Or it's
not to bring the pessimism into the heartfelt conversation, but I'm like, yeah, forget those people though. They can still just knock it off with that.
I mean, I think it goes back to, I don't know what it goes back to, but I think that, how do I say this without being a total dick?
Oh, you can be, it's fine.
Well, and I don't know, total dick. So for me, and I totally get the feelings all around it, and I've probably done the same thing, but for me with the kids, that still feels like then I'm supportive of this thing for me because it makes me feel better. And I'm convincing Tiffany to stay here and work on this project. She doesn't have two fucks to rub together about it because she'd rather be in the sandbox because it's giving me warm, fuzzy feelings. And I don't know if that is just my jaded view of the world, which it, I mean, totally could be, or what, huh?
Maybe the happy medium is like just giving them, like, not just waiting for a holiday kind of deal, like giving them more opportunities to make something if they feel so inclined. Like, don't leave the tiles in the, you know, in the special project bin, have them out more. Like, maybe it's more of an intention of, because I think sometimes we get caught up too. It's like, it is all about the process, but we feel like, I think sometimes if stuff is going home, like, don't feel bad about that kind of deal. You know,
yeah, and I would
go ahead, Sam.
Oh, okay. I would just say, Jeff, I don't think there's always something wrong with doing things because they make you, the teacher, happy. I don't think that should be the main focus of being a caregiver at all. But I think there are lots of things we do that make us happy as adults. I think we're allowed to look for joy in some places. I don't know. Personally, for me, forcing a child to stay at a table when they're doing a project they have no interest in brings me no joy. That I do not like. I do not want to do that. If four kids have come up to me and said, we want to make these for our mommies or for our daddies, you know, can you go get the glue? Can you go get the paper cutter? Can you go get all of these messy things? That definitely brings me the joy that I would be searching for.
Sure.
So yeah, I think I, like, for me, like, there's always an element of them doing things because they make me personally happy.
Yeah, and I think the real valuable piece of all this isn't the project. It's those conversations that you're having.
Yeah. I do think so. And yeah.
So how are you doing?
Me personally?
Yeah, with this loss of your cousin.
Oh, I mean, I'm okay. You know, we were not super, super close. It's also hard because I feel like a lot of times people are really close with their cousins, and I've always thought that's really cool and interesting. Mm-hmm. My cousins and I, since we moved around forever and they never did. So we would see them, you know, basically every couple years, sometimes twice a year if we were like close by and we were really lucky. So that's always been like, we've always had, you know, a good relationship. We enjoy being together. We enjoy seeing each other, but it's, you know, a little bit hard because we were never, you know, we didn't like grow up together. We weren't cousins that grew up together, but I have great memories of my cousin. He came to visit us in Italy when we lived there once. We took him to Rome, and this was right after he graduated high school, and he gets there, you know, he gets to our house and we go up to Rome, and it's me and my mom and my sister and my little brother and one of my mom's good friends, and my brother and my cousin are in a hotel room, and then the four ladies are in another hotel room. And my cousin slept for 26 hours after his flight. Like, my brother was concerned. He's like, he's still sleeping. I don't know why he's asleep, but he's still sleeping. Like, he woke up and he thought it was the next day. We're like, no, it's been 2 days, my guy. Like, you've missed a lot.
Your trip is over. Left you
here. We just left you here to sleep because you've really been sleeping.
See, that's the kind of thing I would train for. Jeff is on his 100-mile bike thing. I'm like, I want to train to sleep 26 hours in a row.
I got
to
sleep for a long time.
Carol, what's your cousin experience, Carol?
Probably similar to Sam's, except for the fact that I wasn't very far away from mine. You just chose us to see them,
and that's also fun.
Once a year. My dad's side, I don't see those cousins a lot. My mom's side, we're much closer with those, and we've actually become closer as we got older. Like, once we kind of all had like families and what have you. My cousins, we lost the oldest one of my cousins, but they were three boys. And I was a very sensitive girl, and it just was not a good match when I was younger. You know, they would tell me that, like, the devil lives in the room with five corners when I had to sleep over there, because there was a closet and their room had five corners and like stuff like that. You know, fun cousin stuff. But then,
classic cousin stuff.
Yeah, they would pick me up by my head. They tried to throw me off a roof once. You know, it was lovely boys. But as they all, particularly the youngest one, he has a family of his own now. And he's like the most amazing dad that I think it's hilarious. I was like, where was this version of you when I was little? He's like, well, what fun is that? I was like, oh, all right. But we've gotten closer as we got older. But when we lost the oldest brother, that was, you know, super hard. And you start thinking about all the times that you could have been together and weren't and stuff like that. But
yeah, the ceaseless march of time.
Yeah.
Jeff, you have any cousin stories?
Cousin stories. I got a bunch of them. Most of them are a lot younger than me, so I didn't have a lot of interactions with them. The ones that were closer to my age didn't really care for their parents, and so not a lot of cousin contact after probably about the age of 10. The only one that I truly enjoyed growing up, she grows up to be this. I didn't spend a whole lot of time with her. So this is a judgment based on a few interactions. Grew up to be just kind of a harpy like her mother. Is that mean to say that?
Jeff, we were telling some stories about you.
Is he not actually back?
There, I think I'm actually back. Oh, yep.
Oh,
we saw your face. What? See, you had been. It stopped right when you said that you had a cousin who grew up to be
a harpy like her mother.
Oh, Oh, I was hoping it was like magician or something.
No,
I thought she was married to tobacco guy.
She was a controlling kind of harpy. And again, this is just my interactions with her as adults. So maybe she isn't that with the rest of the world, one would hope. But her mother was one of those people that that like we'd visit, you know, we'd show up at my grandma's house or something, and she would, you'd like have to hug her. The daughter, the cousin, I kind of liked when we were teenagers and stuff. She started adding, there's like a family Facebook group or some shit like that she started adding me to without, you know, asking me if I wanted to be part of it. And then I would remove myself. And then, cause I just didn't want to deal with it. And then she put me back in, and so fuck her. And, kind of unfriended her on Facebook and then eventually left the platform completely. So that's my cousin experience. And I mean, the truth is they're all probably wonderful and I'm the dick. That's just the way I go through life thinking about everything. So there's that. Should we wrap this up before we have any more audio problems? Cause I'm going to have to do a shitload of editing.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Hey,
but on the plus side, you can go to the beach.
Yeah, I go to the beach and no, I can't because I've got to do the editing. Got to edit the audio files. So hopefully I'll live in an actual home instead of a beach rental and have powerful, strong Wi-Fi again soon. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill. Any final thoughts before we pull the plug?
I hope you have a great day, listener.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, that was horrible. I apologize for that. I'll get a hold of the person to see if they can figure out a solution for me. I had an online training last night, and it didn't have as much problems as we've had doing this. So I don't know what's.
Are you having weather? That's my favorite question that people ask. Are you having weather?
Is there weather?
Yeah, 100% chance of weather there, people. But
yeah, there is weather. I don't think it's bad. There hasn't been any thunder.
We were discussing that we think that you should take a different like beach occupation every month for a year.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
as a little test. So you need to be a face painter. You need to be a henna tattoo artist. You need to sell shot glasses.
Oh God. That sounds like a lot more work. Sounds like a lot more work that I'm interested in doing.
What are other beach things? You got like the rental. You can rent the Surreys.
Ice cream man.
Uh-huh.
Selling ice cream out of your cooler. Please.
You could do the alcoholic kind. Do you guys have alcoholic ice cream?
Well, I mean,
I've had it. It's pretty good.
If you have alcohol and ice cream,
you can just make your own.
It's a short trip.
I used to work with a girl at a Wegmans that opened like the first one in this area. She opened an alcoholic ice cream shop. They make like floats and stuff too, like beer floats.
Ooh,
it's kind of wild.
I'll open up that shop. I think that would involve a lot of paperwork that I'm kind of adverse to applying for and then taking on all those jobs for a month. I did enjoy watching. I like watching the beach cleaner guys drive around with their little tractors. That sounds
Yeah, the beach combers.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good.
That could be fun. Did you take the dogs to the beach yet?
The dogs have gone to the beach and thoroughly enjoyed it. The beach is technically a dog-free beach.
Yeah.
But apparently it's one of those laws nobody follows. So the dogs will be spending time at the beach, I guess. Gigi once ate a seagull out of the air, so she's looking forward to trying that again.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Thank you both. Enjoy. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.